Okay?
Yes.
Okay, so good evening. And somebody looks very familiar in the audience. Two very familiar faces there. Okay, there's Amir Bocher, the IC, and his father. Okay, so the Sefer that I would like to learn is... It's one of the many, many Haggadahs, and the person who wrote this Haggadah was called Rabbi Yitzchak Maltzin. Rabbi Yitzchak Maltzin was one of the Balei Musar who lived in Yerushalayim. There was a place called Chatzos Strauss. It's like right off Meir Shalom, actually, and at the turn of the century, meaning the last century, there was a group of Balei Musar that lived there. Maybe it's a Rabbi Blaser, the classic Balei Musar lived there, and he was one of them. He put out the Siddur HaGrah, the famous Siddur HaGrah that we have, the classic one, Isha Yisrael, he put out. He wrote the Pirush on it. He was a very chashuv person, and he put out a Haggadah called Siach Yitzchak. And in his Hakdama, he deals with a very important topic that many times has been sort of neglected, I guess, or it's sort of shoved under the rug. And I wanted to go through a little bit of the Hakdama because I feel it really encompasses a lot. Let's put down the issue. Let's put down the problem. The Geula, we all know what it's about. What the Geula is, Kadosh Baruch Hu is out of Mitzrayim, and so on. The issue we don't think about is how and why did we get there? And the problem is much deeper than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat down with Avram Avinu. I don't know if the word sat down is the right word, but he stood with Avram, and at the high point of the relationship, he said Yodoa Teida, and he goes to the Brisbane Apsarim, and he really is goes a Gzeira a few hundred years before on Golos Mitzrayim. Why? How do we? What for? And so on. Now, there's a klal. There are many different points. And he will list five of the major points, and then he will put it together himself. I don't think we'll get that far, but at least that's the structure of it. The one thing we have to bear in mind in all of these agadatas and so on is that, let's give an example. Let's say somebody is sick, and you come to a doctor, and a person is sick, and we ask, why is this person sick? So one answer is appropriate, that a bacteria attacked him. A second answer that's appropriate is that he had a cut on his finger that allowed a bacteria to enter. Another answer that's appropriate is that his immune system was down because of X, Y, and Z, and that's why the infection spread. All of these are correct. And really depending on which perspective you're coming from, you're going to focus on one of them. But each and every one is very important. And each and every one of them, you're going to have to understand the role it played in the person being sick and what needed to prevent and so on. So we're talking about the most fundamental and seminal event in Klal Yisrael's history, going down into Mitzrayim and eventually having the Geula. And understanding that event is going to help us understand what the Geula has in it. If the Geula is a solution to a problem, you need to understand what the problem was and what we're doing there so we can understand how and why we left. Okay, so let's take a look inside. Psicha kolelas levar in golos mitzrayim mistayf vizeh. So he said, I'm going to give an introduction to a forward to explain the golos mitzrayim. Beinyan Sibas Golos Mitzrayim Nimtzu Kama Taimim BeMedrashos UMefarshim. I found many reasons in the Medrash Mefarshim. Ubani Yaseinu Od Lo Matzan Derasula. And I still don't think we have yet a clear paved path, so to speak. And he says, in some Mefarshim just pick bits and pieces, you know, they cherry pick like a piece here, a piece there, but he doesn't like that. And therefore he says, let me first list them each one in by itself, and his own take is going to be that all of them have a specific point that they come to tell us. Hadeir Rishon, the first day, he al mashama Avraham Avinu lashon b'ma'eda. This famous Gemara that Avraham Avinu said b'ma'eda, and that's why. V'rosh b'firusha nedarim psikali milsikol kach. The Rush in Nedarim, the Rush has a running commentary on Nedarim. He says that's what the Pasuk says. In other words, it's clear, it's not a remez, this is Pshat in the Pasuk. And even though everybody knows this, everybody can just sort of pick this and say, yeah. Many Farshim have a lot of problems. How you talking? And they ask, Avos Ochlu Bosa V'Shini Banim Tikhena. It's a pasuk that if the fathers eat sour grapes, why would the teeth of the children become kind of, you know, when you eat something sour, it puckers. You know, it doesn't make sense that if the fathers are wrong, something happened to the kid. Al Kain Chotel Fash Ima Idra Chacherim. They looked for other ways. Let's stop at this. He doesn't elaborate at this point more on this. Let's us elaborate on it a bit. First of all, it's not clear in Agadata the role. You know, it's, if Chazal said something in Halacha, if the Gemara passes one thing, you can't pass on something else at all. In Agadata, it seems that many of Farshim said other reasons also, and they understand this Agadata as being a piece, but not really maybe as important as the piece they're offering, and that's why everybody else is going to say different pshatim. But I'd like to focus on this and try to talk about it a little bit. The Maral is the one who says what I'm going to say, and the Maral's pirush, not his pirush, his 18 sfarim that we have plus at least two or three that we don't have, he had one point that he was trying to make, is that Chazal are the foundation for Torah, whether it's halacha, agada, and it's a chutzpah to try and to say a pshat that Chazal didn't say. Obviously, I'm meaning a pshat in a way where we're determining something new. Like, what was the reason? You could always, I mean, all of our explanations are our explanations. But the moral attacks Rashi actually over there, and he says, what does it mean to give other pirushim than Chazal gave? Chazal tells by Eida. But the real his problem is that why would children suffer the sins of parents? There's a problem that probably bothers us more even. It doesn't seem like a terrible, terrible avera. I mean, yes, it's maybe you shouldn't have said b'meida. What does it mean? It didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but I mean, it's like 400 years of Golos or 210 years of Avdus. That's a very, very stiff sentence for that. So I mean, for us, it bothers a lot more the mismatch. So the Maral says the following point, and he says like this. Whenever you build a building, and the foundation, something at the foundation level is amiss, it's going to reflect on the entire building. If the top brick is off by a centimeter, nobody would notice it. If the bottom brick is off by a centimeter, boy, will you notice it, because as you lay the bricks, it's going to become crooked and problematic. So anything that the Avos did or said that was problematic had a tremendous effect. That's point one. Point two, and this he goes to the heart of what the Chazal, he goes to all three Chazals. He doesn't bring the other two Chazals. Says Asan Gari B'Tamir Chachamim. Three things that Avraham Avinu did that were problematic. So the Maral says the word chait does not mean sin per se, as much as shortcoming is a much better pirush. Shortcoming in the sense it wasn't good enough. What wasn't good enough? He says Avraham Avinu, like each and every one of the Avos, had a particular midah that was his midah. Every Av came from a certain perspective, and each midah has in itself the mila of what it can do, but since it's a limited midah, it has in itself deficiency. So for instance, If I build a relationship on chesed, let's start with something. Let's say I build a relationship on din. You work for me, you do something, you earn your way, and that's it. That relationship doesn't allow for anything more than employment. In other words, if the only time I serve you a meal is if you did enough work in the yard to earn a meal, then basically the relationship is businesslike, and that's all it is. Chesed seems to be a one relationship. I give without needing anything in return. So you're always welcome for a meal to my house. That seems to be the mile of chesed. But chesed has a real shortcoming. For instance, anyone who's worked in klal things knows you can't build an organization totally on volunteers, because a volunteer acts like a volunteer. And basically, you do it with a lot of zest and a lot of gusto, but then it peters out. Chesed has a problem in it that it's not, there is no guarantee. For instance, there's an old joke that there were two brothers who used to go to Rothschild every week to pick up tzedakah. So he would give them 100 francs apiece for Shabbos and, you know, on the weekdays, whatever it is. And one day, one of the brothers shows up without the other one. And Rothschild asked him, "Where's your brother?" He said, "He passed away last week." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Here's 100 francs." So he says, "Well, where's the other 100 francs?" He says, "Well, you told me your brother passed away." He says, but who inherits him? Me or you? I'm his brother. Like, I should be getting 200, not you." The point of it, of this, I mean, you know, it's a cute story. It's like, you know, the 1001 Schnorrer Rothschild stories. But the point of it is, chesed extends only when it extends. If let's say I give a person a donation every week, and one week I stop, the person can't have real tainus to me. I mean, he can be insulted, he'd be upset, everything, but he can't come with a taina. If I paint your house, you don't pay me for it, I have a taina on you, but I have a tvi on you. But I can't do that with chesed. So chesed has a problem in itself, that the relationship is never reliable in its own right. So if Klal Yisrael's relationship is built on chesed, because that was Avram's core midah, and that's the foundation point of it, we're missing something, and we're going to have to supplement it by earning it the hard way. That's the way the Maral basically explains it. So he says the music of chet wasn't an avera as much as a shortcoming. It brings a pasik lahachtis hichtis amatara. Two, the shortcoming was Avram's midah. It had nothing to do with him not doing good enough. Avram's midah, which is appropriate, the first midah of chesed, but it has its shortcoming. And Bama Eda is the exact definition of the shortcoming. In other words, I mean, the relationship is never passed now. It's tomorrow, the day after, and so on. Every single moment, the relationship exists only now. I can guess if it'll exist tomorrow. I have no guarantees. That's the first pshat, and that's the pshat that the Maral explains in this Maim Chazal that he brings. Two, Hasvara Shnia he das Asfarno ki bechetem nigzalem. The Sfarno says that they actually sinned, and he brings, I'm not going to go in, I'm not going to read it, but he brings the lashon of Chazal, the lashon of Sfarno is that as the Doros went on, they went worse and worse. Now, this is certainly is true. They all have Zara. I'm in the middle of that paragraph. It says over there that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the two Jews fighting, and then he realized that, you know, one of them had ratted, and he said, now I realize why they deserve this punishment, and also Tanchuma, Mikolze, Nira Shebechetem Neshem. Now, the Sfarnu doesn't address with Chet Ben Absur, the Bris Absurm. I mean, it was foretold. It's hard from the flavor of Bris Ben Absurm to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is foretelling that they're going to sin. We do have cases like that by Vikamam Vizana, where they would sin and so on. But that's something that is much more open in the Pasuk. It doesn't mention that. And does it, I mean, it, no, it doesn't mean they didn't have Bechir. Did have Bechir, you run into all those problems. So he says, Mikol Zinir Shebechetem Nenshu, Amikol Shem Amar Enekein. All the other Chazal do not seem to indicate it. So, and then he brings also a Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram go out and pave the road for them. So he brings this Farnu that they actually did Averis. It's true they did Averis, but that can't be the reason. That might have exacerbated it, that may have made it a much harsher decree, but that certainly is not the root. 3. Hadas HaShlishis Hidas Bal Maisei Hashem. Maisei Hashem was a contemporary of the Maral, Rav Elazar Rokeach, and he and the Maral go at each other a bit. I mean, the Maral answers him back on certain tainus and has some very difficult words, but he was a very big person, and his sefer certainly deserves to be a part of this. V'oid hiksha sheinino royis shebimarash bin apsurim nira shem sparach lavrom ba'ava v'chibur nadasim for semis. He says Bris Ben Absurim was a high point of the relationship. It wasn't said in a moment of anger or avera. This was a Kadosh Baruch Hu being kairos bris by Yom Karas, you know, Hashem Avram did a bris and so on. Ve'echi vasa mar azois yud ra umar shibu tof shana inu v'lachatz l'sibes chetesh nagi Yisparach. He says it's so out of context. I mean, the parsha is a very positive parsha. How can you say that came because of it? Al kein chotoloima she'inya de'ateido is a psura to Avraham. So the Rabbi says that your de'ateido is actually a good psura. She'kol inyan yiridas b'nei Avraham mitzayim hoi mechuyiv u'muchrach. Next page, la soga shleimus via psura nevcheres kol apsuros, and so on. So he says the following. He says, Avraham Avinu was, he had one desire, and that is to be Mefarsim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world. That's what he wanted. He went around and spoke and darshaned. The way in which it will realize itself is if Klal Yisrael becomes a nation that projects the nisim and the flaws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that never happened. So ke'ilu, by doing this, we're going to create an extraordinary emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being subjugated, navadim, and so on, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously freeing us. That will, in effect, be mefasim shem Hashem. That is his point. He says, and the Chazal that speak about the Avera, that just how many years they had to be and so on. So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, one more paragraph, Rabbi Al-Sheikh Doch, the Al-Sheikh is very upset with this, and he says, V'oma keich yitochen kilman yiru makas b'yitzia hiktim galusim b'choymol b'lveinim. I mean, yes, it's very nice that they saw nisim flaws, But how can you say that all that suffering was for something that seems to us just like an extra miler? Why do I wait so long? I understand that you say that Reuven goes into Mitzrayim, he suffers a lot, he comes out miraculously, and that becomes a first him. But why four generations? I mean, what did it do for the great grandfather? The fact that the great grandson went out of Mitzrayim, he never made it out. So he rejects the Ma'aseh Hashem as well. Also, I want to talk a little bit about this, and I'm not going to answer it, but I just do want to discuss the Shita, because like I said before, whichever one is we figure is the main one, but each one of these is very, very significant. The Maral speaks about this also. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim b'chipozin. B'chipozin, the Maral explains, and this is a very fundamental point. The Maral says it, Rafuta quotes it quite often. The definition, let's go slowly. The definition of anything that we would say is physical and fits laws of nature requires process. In other words, A causation. A causes B, causes C, causes D. That is the aleph beis of any type of physical activity that we can understand. Anything that follows like that, mix A with B, 2 minutes later C happens, C will interact with something else and D will happen, and so on. That is the way we understand things that are physical. There's a phenomena in quantum physics called entanglement, with two atoms simultaneously, because they came from one place, they will act in tandem, even though there's no communication between them. In other words, normally, if I shine a light on a certain type of cell, a certain reaction happens. It requires time. It requires step and step. This is something that happens not like that. And even though they feel strongly it's true, it happens like that, but no one could possibly understand that. To us, something that is not sequenced, there's no cause and effect sequence in time, is for us just out of bounds of reason. Our mind works like that. So Klal Yisrael's in Mitzrayim, the fact that they went out b'chipazayin means it was evident that it had no shaykhis with natural cause and effect. There are natural things where you have a small nation rebels against Rome, and even though these guys were just a bunch of barbarians with primitive weapons, but they were able to overcome Rome and so on. That happens. But over here, the chipozon element meant there wasn't any type of ability. There was no cause and effect. So being in the bottom of the barrel was very significant, because if I'm fighting with somebody, I'm an independent country, and they're an independent country. So they're stronger, they're bigger and everything, but I could still manage. But Klal Yisrael had zero of its own, and they overcame. It was sort of clearly no shayches to teva. That at least gives us some sense of this pshat. Hadei Arvius, the fourth day, he ki hoya in agolos lachnioisom le kabel ol toro mitzvah nefesh chafetza ki hoisha loiki va toiva elyoin huzar verochok lefiteva mezig adam va yakoshim od lachnisom begera mitzvah zisum rabim va hoisa zois me ite isbarach eitzen if lo lachnisom mitzrayim tachzit mel kosher ache noixim oisom bekola voida. Let's talk and discuss this. Let's first ask a question, a sort of provocative question. It says, "Kili bnei Yisrael avodim." From the day that I took them out of Beis Avodim, they became my avodim. Let's ask ourselves a question. Let's ask ourselves a provocative question. Imagine Reuven comes to me, and Reuven says, "You owe me tremendous hakaras hatov." Why? Because you were a slave by Shimon, and I bought you from Shimon. So I freed you from being a slave by Shimon. And therefore what? And therefore you're my slave. So where's that hakaras hatov? Did I make you scrambled eggs instead of Shimon scrambled eggs? I mean, where's that Karas HaTov over there? Why? Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know what? You people owe me a Karas HaTov because I freed you from Mitzrayim and made you my slaves. you know, I mean, where is, if that's the logic, what's the logic of it? Traded one slave for us. Yes, everyone understands that Kadosh Baruch Hu is better. I get that. But that's not, but so he didn't free us from Eis Avodim. What did he do? So let's understand a little bit what an Eved is and understand how it it's shaykh over here. Imagine a person has, let's take a machine. Let's take a drill. You have a drill and you have a bit. And the same drill provides the motion, the energy in the motion, and you put different bits on it to make different holes or whatever you do. A person has part of himself that's labor, ability. He can do, he can work, he can do things. There's also a head on his shoulders that's supposed to be able to use that and say, I'd like you to do this now, and you need to do this now. In other words, every person should be divided into two sections. There's the part that does work meaning it accomplishes what it's supposed to do, and the purpose and the goal and the end towards which it's accomplished should be determined by Seichel and Das. It doesn't happen like that naturally. Naturally, a person grows up and his guf takes over. And his seichel says, maybe you shouldn't eat this. His stomach says, I am eating this. His seichel says, maybe you ought to go do something. And his hands and feet say, not in particular. In other words, really the Tzuras Adam should be a master with a servant. I should be able to dictate to my Eved, this is what you should do, and this is what you should do. Not only is it's not fair, it is actually for the benefit of the goof. It's just like a parent telling a child what to do because the child doesn't have seichel. It's the parent's das that's taking over and helping it do what it should do. That's me and my goof. My goof's natural instincts are bad. They're lazy, they're taivadik, they don't want to do right. My seichel is the part of me that rides her over. But it's a very difficult thing to do. If a person hasn't learned how to force himself to do what he wants to do, he won't. So the person's own kaimus adam, tzuris adam, should be seichel and das, and an eved. Eved means workforce, something that can actually do it. There's a Chazal, and Chazal have a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that Be'emis, when a person dies, he has an easy way to get out of being held responsible, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and say, hey, he's going to come to the Neshama and say, you sinned. The Neshama said, me? I'm pure tzidkis. Ever since I came to Shemayim, I'm just kind of pure malach. What do you want from me? It's the body. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go to the body. The body will say, me? I'm just rotting in the grave. It's who do you think sent me? My life force, the neshama, was got me into trouble. So the Chazal give a mashal. Somebody, a king, had a paradise. He had a garden, and he was very scared of hiring the shomrim, guards, because the guards might eat up. They might eat up the fruit. Must be like Russian type of guards. Like, you know, they'll help themselves to the fruit they're supposed to be watching. So what did the king do? He hired two shomrim. One was a cripple, so he couldn't walk over to the trees, and one was blind. He couldn't see anything. And he figured the two shomrim, he's safe, they're not going to. So when the king left, the cripple tells the blind guy, hey, you can't believe what kind of fruit's on the tree. We gotta do something. So the blind guy says, I don't know where to go. So he said, I'll tell you what, you piggyback me on your shoulders, I'll direct you, and we'll have a feast. Kids, I'm advised, they did it. The king comes back, fruit's missing. So yes, what happened? So the cripple says, I didn't do anything. And the blind guy says, what fruit? So the king takes one and piggybacks the other, and he judges them as one unit. So too, a person, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will be down the guf and the neshama together. That's a chazal. But there's a point that chazal are making about the relationship. There's one part of me that sees and can't do. The neshama itself in this world is powerless. It knows what it's supposed to do. It's a chelik alakai, but it's powerless. The guf can do, but it has no sense of any vision of where it's going to. Basher husham. I feel like sleeping now, I sleep. I feel like eating now, I eat. And there's no sense of what for. So the guf and the sham together should work like that. Avdus taught us in a very, very strong way that a person can be machni himself to someone else. I can bear the yoke of someone's das on me so that I can bring out the best in me. And that was the day of Revius, and he brings from the Shem and Amor, the Ibn Shu'ib and Avodas HaKodesh, and so on. He also brings a Shalah Kaddish. Vizela Shaini Ruatza Kashbroch La Dibia Balibum Inyan Ha Abdus. Lahagilum Ba Abdus Yeshinoklam Hak Abdus Abayas Bashmai. So he says basically a Kashbroch wanted to inculcate us the Musik of Abdus. That a person, like we said, Stolz to that. Let's skip next page in the third paragraph, and that'll be the final piece. Hadasa Hamish is he. Let's talk about this. The understanding of many mekubalim, and the Alshech says it, there's a sefer that's accessible to us, was the chet brought in all sorts of bad elements into us, and we needed to get it out of us in order to be zecher kabbalas haTorah. And the suffering in Mitzrayim got it out of us. I want to talk a little bit about this and understand it on a darga that's shaykh to us, what we mean. It's a common concept of miruk chet, that we cleanse out the chatoyim. Let's give an example of in something that we can relate to, understand how that process happens. Imagine the Havdol Alef Havdolos, you have like a mouse, and they put it in a maze, and a mouse, every time it goes down the maze, it picks up, I'm not sure what the mice like mostly, but whatever it is that the mice like, and they get rewarded with some sort of food pellet or candy, or I don't know, whatever mice like. I mean, the yeshiva seems like everything. They were not picky at all. They ate anything that was in any place that they could get to. But we have this mouse is 10 times ran down a certain thing. It hit a wall, and the wall, a little something else opened up, and a food or whatever came out. If you want to untrain the mouse, you need that next 10 times you should shock the mouse, and the mouse will now have pain from that same place, and that will take it out of it. So at the end of the day, if we're to ask ourselves what is the core of who we are and what we want, it's whatever gives us pleasure. So if a person gets pleasure from something, he's drawn to it, and it becomes sort of part of him. And if he's pained by it, he backs off. So if a person it has a bad habit and he starts suffering consequences on a regular basis, he pulls away from it because it's not so much intellectual thing. It took out of me every drop of tam and cheshek I had in it. So a person when he doesn't have vera, And the zuma that goes into us is the yearning for it, the craving for it. And anything we yearn and crave and desire is part of us. Whatever it is that we yearn and crave and want, that's us. The rutzen of a person is the most primitive part of a person. So a person does an aveira, one part that's wrong is you know, God forbid, it's like many behaviors become addictive. And things that are unnaturally pleasurable tend to become very addictive. And that's the nature of it. So as a person, when Adam Rishon sinned, besides the mice he did that was wrong and bad, it also brought into him a tam of chet, a geshmak of chet. It's one of the reasons why if a person is nichshol, there's a problem there. He's and therefore it does it, a person accepts on himself all sorts of suffering, he fasts, he does this, does that, like the old time just do it, then it sort of takes away the tam of chet. So Klal Yisrael as a whole contained in themselves still some of that. Avram and Yitzchak Yaakov had not succeeded in completely puring it out, in getting it out pure. This, they were able, with this mirror, with this suffering, they were able to get it out. It's a pshat that's called Kor Zohav, a place that purifies us and so on. It leaves a room to ask questions. It says they were over Avazor Mitzrayim, so how did that work over there? But Akoponim, that's the das that I think is most accepted, most spoken. I want to mention one more das, one more day. He doesn't mention it here. He sort of mentions it when he sums up and he speaks it about more of the Achik and Yetzir V'Chush Gadol. It says, there's a lesson in Chazal that Klal Yisrael went into Golus only to bring out Geirim. And the idea of that is there were when Adam Rishon sinned, the world became a mishmash, and some of the bad entered us, and some of the good was dispersed amongst the goyim. It does an equilibrium, you know. If I absorb some of that, they get some of that, and the world still has it. And by Klal Yisrael coming into contact with them, we pick up Geirim. We also can pick up more subtle things. Let's just take an example. And again, I don't mean to say that this is yes or not, but it's just an example. The fact that German Jews have a structure and order that they picked up from the Goyim Seder, it maybe that's something that somebody needed to pick up from them and bring it back and absorb it, depending if you think Seder is a good midah or not. But assuming that you feel there's some value to it, then the fact that there's a Chelek Klal Yisrael that was there and brought back the music of Seder and so on, maybe other things of that nature. So since we needed to go out to the world to be able to bring back Chalokim, that in other words, if we were Toiv and we were Kulei Toiv, we would attract those Chalokim, those Nitzaitzes, however you want to call it. There's a Vart Neshem Yishmol, I later saw it in other places. He asks, if that's true, then the time of not doing an Avera isn't true, because we need it, even if we wouldn't have done Averas, we need to go bring back these Nitzaitzes. So he says a very beautiful, he says, if we would not have done any Averas, we wouldn't need to go and get those Nitzaitzes. They would come running to us. In other words, just like there's a type of teacher that needs to chase his Talmidim around, and there's a type of teacher that has such a draw that people come to him. So, yes, we had two choices. Had we not sinned, then our presence of such perfection would have drawn the Toiv of the world into us. We didn't, and there was Chet the world, so we had to go through this process and so on. So let's sum up. And so we have here, so understanding that it's important to in appreciating the Geula, we need to appreciate the Golus and understand where we were doing there, where it's coming from. All of these Tirutzim are true points. There were certain Chesronos in the Avos, but Ma'eda is an expression of it. There was definitely a goal where when Klal Yisrael would come out of it, there would be tremendous kvod shemayim and so on. Klal Yisrael would be able to work out their own whatever was still left in them in terms of the zuma. They were able to, like we said before, to be mashpi on the world around by doing that. They learned avdus, and at the end of the day, the Bris Ben Absarim itself, whether it was there to help us get rid of the little soilers that we had left, whether it was there to take care of the misakin certain things, or any of that, it all was l'toiva. It all was for a purpose, for the same purpose as Mitzrayim. All these reasons deal with different phases, but at the end of the day, they still head towards the same thing. So Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim became who they became in Ruchnius. The hardships and the suffering and everything else served to make us what they are. However, whatever it is that we'll take on, it's the same point. Klal Yisrael needed to become Klal Yisrael, and Bez Hashem, we should be zeicha that our generations saw enough suffering. We should be yotze with all of the what my parents still went through, and what people in Russia went through, and what people in Israel are going through, and all over the world. And Bez Hashem, we should see the Vachakach Yetzer B'chush Gadol. We should come back, we should come out enriched by everything, with whatever it is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to possess. Any points, any questions, anything? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Beseda. Achakash v'sameach. Okay.